From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm the fire in your fireplace, Bill Curtis. And here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, everybody. It is fall, and the staff of the show and I have decided to go apple picking.
My preferred method is to stand next to the tree and just talk the apples into falling.
This weekend, we're going to offer you some stuff we like to think about to make us warm in the colder months. Great interviews with some past guests.
Let's start off with a fancy one. Violinist Itzhak Perlman joined guest host Mike Pesca in February of 2014.
So I always like to get into the origin story. And from what I understand, and you fill in what I don't understand, as a boy in Israel, you so badly wanted to play the violin, but you were turned away from the conservatory because a three-year-old, you were too small to actually hold a violin. Does Wikipedia have any of that right?
Where did you read this?
I don't know.
Well, it's actually true.
Ah.
No, I was, I wanted to play when I was three or three and a half, and it was a little too early. These days, it's actually not, you see a lot. If you look at YouTube, you see a lot of three-year-olds playing. But at that time, things were a little more normal. So we had to wait a little bit, a couple of years.
Uh-huh. And at what point do you go from a kid who has a lot of promise or a kid who's really good to, bang, he's a prodigy?
There's no such thing, everything is evolved. I realized that I was pretty good about maybe a year ago, to play very well. So I'm very, very, as I said, it's an evolving process. No, but seriously, it's something that you do gradually, I started when I was five, really, and then after 8 years, I was still at it. So that's good, and so you go from, you go from year to year and that's what happens.
Yeah. He's 69, but he plays on a 79-year-old level.
Wait a second. Yeah. I'm 68.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So there you were. You were, as a young child, you were denied and you wanted to do it, and you were denied and you wanted to do it. And I know you teach young children now. Do you think that there's something to, crafting greatness to make the barrier to entry into a field even a little bit harder than it is now?
Well, no. I don't really. I enjoy teaching young kids. We have a program that my wife started called the Perlman Music Program, where I teach young, promising string players. And I think that when you have the talent, it's good. It's easy. But talent is the level right now of playing is so high, and everybody now, there are a lot of people who really play so well. So that, I don't think that's a problem. I think that's very good.
Do you enjoy playing other instruments, banjo, something like that?
No, I'm just a one instrument player. I've been known to play a blender, but I basically play the violin.
And what's your opinion on the electric violin?
It's okay, as long as you can play it well. If you play something well, I don't care what it is. I don't play an electric. I tried. It's actually interesting, and that's all I can say about it, but I'm an acoustical person.
And how often is this, like a once a day, once a week thing that you're asked to play The Devil Went Down to Georgia?
Well, once a year, and today's the day.
And following up on that question, if you were asked to fiddle against the devil where you were wagering your soul, what prize would you ask for in return?
A good meal at some nice restaurant, I guess.
That's confidence, people. Soul against a good meal.
Yeah.
Who would sound better, the second best violin in the world as played by the best player, or the best violin in the world as played by the second best player?
It's the other one.
Yeah.
Playing is playing. To tell a very funny story about the great Yasha Heifetz, he played a concert and the lady came backstage and she said to him, "Mr. Heifetz, your violin sounded so good tonight." And he picked up the violin and he said, "Funny, I don't hear anything."
So when you teach a young child, even an older child, how can you tell if he or she is great or is going to be great?
There is an innate musicality that you hear immediately, and it doesn't matter the level of playing, but you can already hear that something there, that they're being affected by the music. You know, so, you know, sometimes, you know, when we see tapes of people who wants to come into our program, we see even the look on the face when they hear a particular harmony. And that already tells you that somebody has got this musical feel, you know. And of course, the passion is very, very important. And that's really, it's something that you can't really describe. You have to sort of hear it, you know, to see what it is. And then, of course, there is the challenge of the development. You know, if you hear somebody who's 12 who's amazing, you say to yourself, you know, I hope that they've survived their gift and that they're continue to be amazing when they're 18 and 19 years old. You know, that's always a problem, how you develop through these years.
Yeah, that's actually pretty profound and inspiring, and it brings me back to the idea of a fiddle made of gold. Let's just do the math for a second. Now, the density of gold is 35 times the density of wood, and a fiddle or a violin weighs about 400 grams. So a fiddle made of gold would weigh about 30 pounds. Mm-hmm. At a price of $42 per gram, right now a fiddle made of gold would be worth $588,000. My question to you is, how much is your Stradivarius worth?
More. And besides, you know, with a fiddle of gold, I'm going to have to be strictly playing heavy repertoire. So, you know, like, you know, Brahms and Beethoven. So.
Willie Nelson's guitar has got Friends autographs all over it. Uh-huh. Do you do anything like that with your...
No. Very funny.
Just thought. Okay, if you're on a desert island and the only instrument there was a banjo,
what would I do?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll try and find something to eat.
So a glass of wine before you play?
No, are you kidding me?
No.
Is it better if we all have a glass of wine before you play?
The way I assume you're playing, you should get a bottle of wine before.
All right, well, let's play. Itzhak Perlman, let's play a game that we're calling...
You're No Hellboy.
Sure, you may be an expert. I'm going to say you are an expert on Itzhak Perlman, but how much do you know about the actor Ron Perlman? Of Hellboy and Beauty and the Beast and Sons of Anarchy, we're going to ask you three questions about the craggy-faced actor. Answer two of them correctly, and you'll win a prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice, on their home answering machine. Carl, who is Itzhak playing for?
Itzhak is playing for Betsy Dowd of Niles, Michigan.
All right, you ready to play?
Okay, Betsy, let's go.
Let's go, Betsy. Here's your first question. In addition to playing the Beast, Ron Perlman is perhaps best known for playing Hellboy in the Hellboy series. Big fans of those movies can do what? A, attend Hellboy summer camp where they learn to track supernatural beings. B, get a Hellboy permit from the Presbyterian Church, allowing them to say the H word without punishment. Or C, get special edition Hellman's Hellboy's mayonnaise, which is red but still tastes like mayonnaise. What do you think?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, I mean, if I was following what my brain tells me, I would say three because it involves the mayonnaise. Mm-hmm. However, I would take a chance on number one.
The summer camp.
Yeah.
You are correct.
Thank you.
There is a Hellboy summer camp outside of Portland. So as we mentioned before, Ron Perlman is known for his distinctive face. When you Google Ron Perlman looks like, which of these is a way that Google finishes the phrase for you? Ron Perlman looks like A, Rhea Perlman, B, Donkey Kong, C, an Easter Island head.
Oh, my God. I can tell you Rhea Perlman is absolutely no.
No.
So we know. So it's between two and three. Can it give me the two and the three again, please?
Do you think that Google thinks that Ron Perlman looks like Donkey Kong or an Easter Island head?
Easter Island head or Donkey Kong? What's Donkey
Remember
Kong?
Remember the demo?
Is Donkey Kong the game?
It's a video game with a large-faced ape.
Okay, that's what I'm going to say.
You're right, it is Donkey Kong. I don't know, parents. I mean, wouldn't you rather have your kids know about video games from the 80s than be the world's greatest violinist?
Ron, I forgot about those games. Yeah. You know, I mean, I you know, I've already forgotten them. I'm now into the Sugar Crash or whatever you call that.
Candy Crush, yeah. Sorry, the maestro could not play tonight. He's just exploding bananas on level 243.
I wish.
Ron Perlman is not only an actor, he's also directed episodes of Beauty and the Beast, and he runs his own production company. How does Ron Perlman describe his directing style? A, I like to lure actors in with the beauty, then I show them the beast. B, I don't like working with me. I would punch myself in the mouth if I had to take my direction. C, I honestly have no idea what I'm doing, and I'm scared. Please don't publish this.
It's probably wrong. I'll take two.
That is correct. Letter B. He punched himself in the mouth. Fortunately for Ron Perlman, he looks like someone who could take a punch. Carl, how did Itzhak do?
Three correct answers, so Itzhak, you win for Betsy Dowd. Congratulations.
You did it, Itzhak. Thank you so much. Congratulations. I'm sure this ranks right up there with all the achievements and the presidents and the queens and the awards.
Tell me, what does Betsy win? You know, I want to know. I'm so curious.
Carl's voice on the answering machine and a free pass to Candy Crush level 243.
No.
Itzhak Perlman, thank you so much for joining us on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you so much.